Welcome to a weekly review of North Dakota's legislative news. Now, here's your host, Dave Thompson, with North Dakota Legislative Review.
And hello, I'm Dave Thompson. Welcome to our weekly North Dakota Legislative Review. Some of the things that have happened in the session right now. The Prairie Dog Bill is continuing to move forward. The Prairie Dog Bill, of course, is the local infrastructure bill, and it was approved by one committee. It's now before House Appropriations. There might be some changes that might be forthcoming in appropriations. We'll just have to watch and see what happens before that is sent over to the Senate. Also, in terms of infrastructure, there were bills to raise the gas tax. That was defeated. However, a bill that would actually double the driver's license fee was approved, and the money goes toward matching federal highway dollars, again, an infrastructure type bill. We will see what happens in the next chamber and see if maybe there might be more for gas tax coming back. Also, some lawmakers want to take on the responsibility of setting college tuition costs instead of leaving that to the Board of Higher Education. That's because despite the state giving more money to higher education over the years, tuition costs continue to go up. Our political correspondent, Chad Mira, looks deeper into that issue.
A good education isn't cheap. At a four-year state college or university in North Dakota, in-state students are paying on average around $8,600 this year. That's for tuition and fees. That number is almost double from 15 years ago. Republican Representative Rick Becker said that shouldn't be the case.
All across the nation, when other states are decreasing their appropriation and needing to increase tuition to offset that, we were dramatically increasing appropriation. And in the face of that, we were also increasing tuition. It made no sense, and it's at the expense of the students.
Over that same time frame, when tuition nearly doubled, state appropriations went from about $387 million in the 2005 biennium to more than $625 million this past biennium. So Becker co-sponsored a bill that would give lawmakers the authority to set tuition and fees, not the Board of Higher Education.
Either we are going to give increased burden to our students by increasing their tuition, or we're going to give increased burden to the taxpayer by increasing the appropriation to higher ed. But in no way should we be doing both. That's just irresponsible.
The numbers haven't continuously gone up, though, throughout the years. This past biennium, higher education was cut heavily. Representative Lori Beth Hager, a Democrat on the Education Committee, thinks it doesn't matter who sets tuition costs.
Whether you're in the State Board of Higher Education, whether you're an elective legislative member, I believe we want to keep the costs low.
She has concerns about the bill.
Our Legislative Assembly meets every other year, and so that doesn't make it quite in the flexibility enough for the colleges and universities to set their tuition rates.
And now we're joined by our guest, who is the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, State Senator Ray Holmberg from Grand Forks. He's a Republican. Senator, speaking about that bill about setting tuition rates, that goes back to something that you were involved in, the Higher Education Roundtable in the late 1990s. And one of the things they did, that lawmakers did, was give the colleges a little bit more flexibility. As we sit here today in 2019, do you think that the legislature should take back authority over tuition?
I think the legislature, two sessions ago, put a maximum that the board could increase tuition. And of course, typically they, if you set a maximum, they will go to that maximum. We haven't had the higher education bill yet in the Senate, so we are still waiting to see how they put it together, what kind of money they have in it, and does it adequately fund without overfunding the university system. And once we see that, then we will take a look at that tuition issue. But the legislature has at times passed or mandated tuitions, and other times we have left it to the board. Sometimes the board was responsible in doing the right thing, and a few sessions ago, they were irresponsible and allowed one school to raise their tuition a great deal, and that left a lot of legislators unhappy.
Since you brought up the board, I would like to get into that a little bit, because the governor's task force on governance came up with a three board proposal, one for UND, one for NDSU, and also one for the rest of the colleges and universities. That seems to have had a rough time, a rough go so far. You haven't had the bill yet in the Senate, but it was in the House, correct?
Correct.
And where do you think this might end up?
I think it'll end up with the legislature trying to come up with something not only that can pass the legislature, but that we feel has a chance with the voters. In other words, don't try to do too much There have been a couple proposals in the past that went way too far, and the voters overwhelmingly turned them down. I think they should look at the size of the board. I think there is an issue with having only eight people, seven and one student, all voting members. I think they need to look at that. About 15 years ago, I put in a constitutional amendment that the people passed, which reduced the board term to 4 years, and with the option of having a reappointment possibly. And I think that was a mistake. I think that we need to take another look at having a single term for a longer period of time, because unfortunately you end up in situations where a person on the board wants to be reappointed, so they use a political matrix as to what they're doing rather than what might be good for the entire university system.
Well, since the bill actually came out of committee with a do not pass, is there other mechanisms to put changes into, say, the higher ed budget or something like that?
No, it wouldn't go into the higher ed budget, because you're talking about changing the Constitution. But there are always delayed bills which can be introduced, or in this case, a delayed resolution. I think there are people that are much more understanding of the issue that are working on that even as we speak. And I think that we should take a look at the governance structure of the university. It is not the major problem, but it is something that I think the legislature, with the approval of the voters, can make a positive change.
Let me go to an issue where the houses are a bit different. Senate's got a stake in the sand, so to speak, on a 2 and 3 increase. That would not only be for salaries for state employees, but 2 and 3% increases like all the major budgets. Tell me how you came up with 2 and 3.
Well, first of all, we looked at the dollars that are available. Clearly, we are not we don't have an interest in raising taxes. Right now, we're operating under an early revenue forecast, but that will be updated in March, and then we will have a better handle. In fact, we will have the final handle on what the best information we have as to how much revenue there is, how much are we going to save, how much are we going to invest. I don't think we'll be doing tax refunds or, you know, lowering taxes this time, because one of the things we have to do is replenish some of the reserves that we had too. So we've got that. But we felt that particular example in the executive budget, there was a 1% and 1% increase for long-term care nursing homes. And I think legislators across the board felt that just wasn't enough for taking care of our senior citizens. So we put paper to pencil and came up with a 2 and a 3 for state employees, and then a 2 and a 3 for all of the providers, you know, DD providers and all these folks in the human service area, a 2 and a 3% increase in foundation aid, and then a similar increase for higher education.
So 2 and 3 right now, but dependent on the March revenue forecast?
Well, dependent, number one, on the March forecast, and number two, on our colleagues and friends in the House.
Because it apparently they've done a 2 and 2 from what I've heard.
They have done a 2 and 2. With state employees, they have done the same that we are doing in the Senate, which is leaving the current health plan as it is. The governor in his budget had the opportunity for a $28 a month assessment, I guess I'll call it. And we just felt that the current system was very popular. The people who hire state employees, you know, the various agencies say it is a major tool to attract employees in a very, very tight job market.
Now, I know you haven't seen a bill yet, but I think the proposal is out there for the state to go to self-insurance plan. Is that something that there's an appetite for in the Senate?
There might be. We've had it before and we'll have it again. So, and it's an issue that will be around. I don't know exactly where the Senate's going to be on that issue.
How about you?
I'm not sure yet. Have to see.
But you do want something that will ensure state employees that they don't have to pay anything out of their pocket for at least single coverage.
Yeah, at least for the single coverage, right.
In terms of that two and three, I know that one thing that the majority leader, Rich Wardner, had floated was the idea of a provider tax. That did fail on the floor, but he said in an interview with us that he said provider tax is still an option if you can't get to 3 and 3, which is what the nursing homes want.
Right. I think that when the folks who are very supportive of nursing homes and the long-term care is the phrase we use, if they can see that, you know, we did the best we could and we were fair and equal in our handling of these major budgets, that goes a long way in calming some of the waters. But we've still got a long way to go in the session. And again, we might find additional resources. We don't know what oil's going to do. We don't know what sales tax is going to do for sure, but we'll have a better handle on that in March.
What do you think in terms of sales tax, since you brought that up? You know, states starting to get collections of state sales tax from online retailers. That seems to be kind of a big X factor out there. What is it going to be? I believe the tax commissioner put in $10 million for the first biennium and $15 million, but it could be a lot more than that. We just don't know. How is that going to play into things?
It's a revenue source that kind of leveled the playing field between the out-of-state internet interests and the in-state stores. I bought a birthday gift for a grandson today, not on Amazon, but on a different site, and I paid $4 and some cents of sales tax. So it was collected.
Too. Yes, they are collecting it. So that might be a factor that might help. Oil prices are still a big question mark right now. I've heard some people bemoan what prices are right now, but there's still some optimism out there among some people that we may see price increases, especially because OPEC may have reached some agreement about ratcheting back some production. And what's going to happen with Iranian oil, nobody seems to know. And how is that going to affect West Texas Intermediate and North Dakota prices?
It's a crapshoot, as they say, but the experts, those that make a living looking at oil and what's going to happen, have been modestly positive about what's going to happen. Our projections are very conservative when it comes to the amount of oil that we expect to dig out of the ground, or pump out of the ground, I should say. Still the challenge of workforce in Western North Dakota to move that oil. But I'm optimistic we're going to have better numbers. Those numbers don't necessarily translate directly into general fund dollars, but they do into some of the trust funds. For example, the Water Resources Trust Fund, we're a little short on that, and any money coming into that would be used for water projects that are ready to go, for example.
And you talked about the Water Resources Trust Fund. There's a lot of demand for that. I mean, you've got the increased cost of the FM diversion project, you've got the Red River Valley Water Supply Project, you have NAWS, the Northwest Area Water Supply Project, you've got some improvements to Southwest Water as well. I don't think necessarily there's something for Minot Flood in that budget?
No, there is.
There is.
The bottom line is the expectations earlier were that we would have close to $700 million available. We actually, now the latest projection is about $350 million. So the asks were 700, but we only have 350 or so right now. So bottom line, there has to be some prioritizing, and at the end of the day, the legislature is the one that makes those priority decisions.
One fund called the SIF fund, the Strategic Investment Fund, is that a place where you could get dollars for water?
No, because there are other asks on that particular fund. The SIF fund primarily is, the Water Resources Trust Fund is a primary funding source for those water projects.
Okay. Sunday opening something that's passed the Senate by one vote, which was very interesting. Now will be pending in the House.
No, other way around.
The other way around.
Yeah, passed the House.
Passed the House and now is in the Senate. How do you think it's going to go in the Senate?
I think it has a good possibility of passing. We're kind of in a state where it's somewhat meaningless because I can go to a grocery store that's open Sunday morning and I can buy sheets and pillowcases, but I can't go to a store that sells those kind of things primarily and can't buy that same thing. So, and one of the folks who was asking questions in the House committee said, well, that's what the state's attorneys are for. And I said, a state's attorney would be laughed out of he wouldn't be in the jury box, but he'd be laughed out of the courtroom if he brought someone in and wanted to charge them with selling pillowcases on a Sunday. I mean, it just is a law that is outlived its usefulness, I think. But there are a lot of passionate views on it, so it will be debated. And I think that at the end of the day, it will pass the Senate and go to the governor.
And of course, Senator Wardner, who voted against it 2 years ago, basically said on this program that the horses are out of the barn now and he thinks it might pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will see. You know, there are a number of new people in the Senate and they don't have a track record.
Now, you had a bill that we did talk about a little bit, and that was that $6 million for front-end energy research to go to the Energy and Environmental Research Center at UND. That seemed to be well received. How is that going?
It was, number one, you're right, it was well received. We put a friendly amendment on the bill today in the Senate, and it will be up for final passage Friday afternoon.
So
and it was
committee.
Unanimous, out of committee, it was unanimous out of the Senate Appropriations Committee. And I think there is a lot of support for it. And that support throughout the energy industry. It's the EERC used to do a lot of developmental research on the basis of money they would receive as earmarks from Washington, D.C., which dried up. And most of their funding now comes from a company that wants them to do some specific kind of research in a specific area and not general research. Whereas the documentation indicates that when they were doing general research, they were able to come up with a number of patents and a number of things that really helped energy across the board. So we are looking at putting some funding in there. It doesn't come from the general fund, it comes from the oil and gas.
On research, there was a proposal that the two research universities could get $100 million over a two-year biennium, $25 a year for each, UND and NDSU. For general research, that was now down to $45 million, I think. That was
there are two bills.
There are two bills.
Yeah, there are two bills, one in the House. They called it the lift bill, but that isn't what it was.
No.
Was it the lift bill?
It might have been.
Well, anyway, it was called something.
Yeah.
We'll just say something. Spearheaded by Representative Mike Nathie of Bismarck. And then in the Senate, we had the bill that more conformed to what the university presidents had been talking about. And that's the one right now that has $45 million in it. That we've had a hearing on it in Senate Appropriations. We have taken no action on that bill as of yet. At the end of the day, I think that the legislature will pass something dealing with research. The dollar amount, I'm not sure of. And I think that it will take the best aspects of the two different bills and put them together and come up with something.
Again, this might be dependent on the revenue forecast. That's
dependent upon revenue forecast, and that'll be a major factor, and how the rest of the state budget is going. There might be some things that come up that we feel are a greater priority, and we will go in that direction.
Your committee has not had a chance to take a look at the Theodore Roosevelt Library and Museum yet,
no.
But that was Governor Burgum's $50 million ask to raise another $100 million to have it built. I think it's run into some trouble in the House. What's the Senate view of that, and perhaps your committee's view of that?
I think it's a heavy lift, particularly until we have a good idea what the revenue numbers are going to actually be. It's tough to ask legislators to vote for that particular museum if they are really focusing on the money that their local schools are going to get. I think there is an aversion to the state putting money into bricks and mortar. I think you might see a direction of looking at endowment to run the place might have a better chance. And I don't know if $50 million is something that could pass the Senate. There might be an appetite for something less than that, but that's still quite a ways away. And because, and you've been around a while, if a governor has a passion for some issue, that issue typically does not go away just because one of the houses has killed the bill.
Right.
It comes back.
And it was in the commerce budget, right?
It's in the commerce budget, which...
Or might still be in the commerce budget. We don't know at this point.
Yeah, right.
But eventually it'll get to your committee, and if the March revenue forecast comes out and you think you can afford it, maybe you'll put something back in. Possibly.
It's possible.
And one quick thing, we only have just a moment or two. You did pass out this bonding proposal for a couple of buildings, and we haven't heard that word in a while since before the oil boom, really.
Right.
But now it's starting to say maybe there's some appetite for bonding.
There might be. We'll have to see. The basic question is the major buildings that are on that list, we are going to be building. Foss Hall at Valley City is on the wrong side of the dike. The dike was put in. They're on the wet side. At some point, that building's going to flood. And Dunbar Hall at NDSU is not in good shape. That's a chemistry building. So both of them will be built at some point. It's just, will we do it this way through the bonding, or do we wait 2-4 years and the cost for those buildings go up a great deal more?
Senator, we have to stop right here. Thank you for being here. Senator Ray Holmberg from Grand Forks chairs the Senate Appropriations Committee. We're now going to be joined by Chad Mira, and we're going to take a look again at this higher education governance, which was amended to two boards instead of one. The governor has wanted a multiple board solution. He said keeping one board is not the way to go. And now we think that got a do not pass out of committee in the House. Mm-hmm. And there has been some talk about maybe extending the term limits for the current board, or maybe doing something, you know, like maybe adding members to the board, but keeping one board and maybe using subcommittees. That's one of the things they're talking about. We'll watch that unfold over the next few weeks.
Sure, they're still going to be debating this one for a while. They went from 3-2 initially because there's some concerns those smaller schools would get left behind, perhaps. The governor is backing this two-board system, it appears. However, There's also something we should mention about this. It would require a change to the Constitution,
right,
because the
right.
Board of Education is written into the Constitution. So ultimately, any change would go to the voters eventually.
That resolution has not yet been drafted. They were working on it, but given the fact that the committee has no appetite right now for that enabling legislation, we'll see what happens with that, see if they get it drafted.
Mm-hmm. And there's another thing about education I know that we've been following, and that is the possibility of removing the names of colleges and universities from the state constitution, another change to the constitution that would ultimately go to the voters. What are you hearing on that? Any update?
I'm hearing that there's some appetite for that, but maybe not a real appetite, because in my career, it has been voted on, I believe, 3 times, and voters have turned it down. They don't like the idea, and especially, you know, if you're a Mayville or a Valley City, that college is pretty much economic development for you, so you want to keep it, and there's a lot of opposition from the smaller town legislators.
Absolutely. Of course, the people in support of that, though, are saying, you know, we need more flexibility with higher education now. Enrollment numbers are changing. Technology is kind of changing the way we deal with education. So that's a debate. Like you mentioned, it's come up before. We could hear it again.
And then you've got Scott Lauser's resolution to study privatizing Minot State University and two other universities. That's also pending. So there's a lot of churn, so to speak, in higher education.
Absolutely. Now, there's one other thing I want to get to, and that is something I always find interesting coming out of the state. Every now and then we get to hear their opinion on some of the issues at the federal level. One thing is Savannah's Act. There's a House concurrent resolution that some lawmakers are encouraging our federal lawmakers to support Savannah's Act and get that passed. That was a former Senator Heidi Heitkamp's act, named for Savannah Graywind, a very well-known case here in North Dakota, obviously. This resolution points out some major differences in the reporting of missing Indigenous people. The National Crime Information Center listing more than 5,700 cases in 2016, Department of Justice only having 116 cases listed in 2016. So obviously some big differences there, and we're going to continue to look at ways to address that, it looks like.
And there is kind of a companion bill about some kind of repository or list. Mm-hmm.
Representative Ruth Buffalo had a House Bill 1313. This has been reworked a little bit already, but it does relate to the creation of this repository for missing people in North Dakota, and it requires data to be included on missing cases involving Indigenous people.
There is a lot to follow as crossover approacheth. How's that?
Not too far off.
Not too far off, and we will be here. Thanks for joining us for Legislative Review. I'm Dave Thompson, and we'll see you again next week.